Welcome, Chairman Vincent Gray. Instead of running for re-election for chairman, you've elected, which many thought was a safe bet, you've elected to challenge Adrian Fenty in the Democratic primary for mayor. Why'd you make that choice?
Well, I think first of all, the city needs mature, experienced, seasoned leadership, and I know that's what I bring to the city. You're right, I could have run for my existing seat. I don't know whether anybody would have run against me or not. But it probably would have been a lot safer than running for the mayoral seat. But I want to be in a position to lead all the people in the District of Columbia, and I want to be able to be in a position to move this city forward in ways that I don't think it'll move forward under the current leadership.
You mentioned tonight in your talk at the Jews United for Justice Labor Seder, your background in human services. Mm-hmm. What would Mayor Vincent Gray do differently with regards to human services than Mayor Adrian Fenty?
Well, first of all, I have a broader vision for education, and I talked about that at the Seder, and that was being able to make significant investments on the front end, the early intervention end, having universal infant and toddler programs for those parents who would opt to do that. Universal pre-K, which I did the legislation on that, and we're well on our way to. Creating a vision of a birth through 24 public education system that connects the dots on all of the educational offerings that we have in the city. When you begin to add up the budget, we spend about $2 billion on public education in the city, and we deserve more than just a fragmented approach. We deserve more than just a focus on K through 12. We deserve for our citizens a view of what happens to a child from the time that child is born until they become adults with respect to what the public commitment is. Secondly, I think I'll bring more prudent financial management to the city. The city's fund balance has been spent down by hundreds of millions of dollars. We are at a perilous position, in my opinion, with respect to what remains in that fund balance and what commitments we have with respect to the future in the city. So I will bring a more prudent financial management. And also, I'm going to bring a more coherent economic development approach. We have been, like many jurisdictions, in a recession. We'll come out of that recession. But in order to survive and thrive, we're going to have to be a different kind of economy. We're going to have a different approach. I think we need to look at bringing financial services to the District of Columbia. A great opportunity to do that. I've been working with some people around those opportunities. There are literally hundreds of millions of dollars of reserves parked in offshore places like the Cayman Islands, the Bermuda, Caribbean locations that could come to the District of Columbia, obviously with no peril to any other state in this nation. It would require congressional legislation. What would it do? It would put those resources to work in this city. It would create jobs for people in the District of Columbia. It would bring companies to the District of Columbia that would pay taxes. And also, obviously, it would help us to fill our office space in the city. It would have myriad opportunities for us. Secondly, and that is again connecting the dots, we need a much more robust jobs program in the city, one that is connected to the kind of economy that we want to evolve in the city. And then secondly, using our educational system to prepare people for that. We now have a community college at the University of the District of Columbia. That community college ought to be tied to what our economic development strategy is, creating jobs for people in the financial services industries, in allied health professionals, because allied health is obviously a growing endeavor. And thirdly, as we make commitments to education, there are going to be a lot of people who have to work in those efforts, especially early childhood education, and we need to prepare folks for those opportunities.
Speaking of education and labor, tonight being a labor seder, can you comment on the recent Washington Teachers Union collective bargaining agreement with District of Columbia Public Schools? And there's an unprecedented amount of private money in that contract. It is $64.5 million coming from sources like the Walton family, which is from the Walmart, money, and they're not exactly known for a pro-union stance. Do you have any concerns with that private money?
Well, I want to more thoroughly understand what the commitments are as a result of that. You know, as the adage goes, there's no free lunch. We're talking about $64.5-$65 million being invested in these pay-for-performance opportunities. So what are these foundations expecting? What are the commitments that have been required of the District of Columbia in order to receive those dollars? The contract will obviously have to be ratified by the membership, and then it will come to the council, and we will have a lot of questions about what those commitments mean. And frankly, the other question is, we're talking about some very significant pay increases for teachers, which they deserve, but we want to understand how that's going to be paid for also.
Article Section 42 of that agreement reads, "Nothing in this agreement shall be construed as a promise that Congress, the D.C. Council, or any other organization shall appropriate sufficient funds to meet the obligations set forth in this agreement." So if I'm reading that correctly, Chairman Vincent Gray, the terms can change, because if they're holding onto the money, the foundations, they can say, well, we're not obligated to give it to you.
We're very clear in this, and that is that if this contract is entered into, there's going to have to be an ironclad demonstration that those dollars will be available, you know, either through, you know, some letter of intent, some letter of credit, through actually giving us the money and putting it in an account that will be drawn down upon. We will be steadfast in requiring a commitment to those dollars being available to the city, first and foremost. And then secondly, what do we have to do to get them?
Lastly, Vincent Gray, I've had a chance to watch you for a couple of years, and I've seen that how much you respect and I think Councilmember Marion Barry. Can you talk about personally what it's been like these last months, having the council move to censure and then remove him from the Finance and Revenue Committee and take away his chairmanship on the Committee on Housing and Workforce Development?
It's one of the most excruciatingly difficult things I have ever been a part of. Marion Barry has done just enormous work for the citizens of the city over a period of years. I've known him for many years myself, worked closely with him. When all of this happened, you know, we immediately put in place an investigatory apparatus that was designed to objectively look at, you know, what happened and what didn't happen here. Took 7.5 months to conduct that investigation. Robert Bennett had a team of 15 attorneys working on it with respect to the contract that went to Ms. Watts Breithaupt and with respect to what happened to money associated with those earmarks. You probably saw the report. It was very, very clear in its findings, and it had a set of recommendations at the end of it. And it was a very compelling case that was made. And I think the council, and the council voted unanimously on this, I think the council has a lot of affection for Marion Barry. At the end of the day, though, I think we all concluded that we had a job to do and that this had to be done.
He was removed from the Committee on Finance and Revenue. The chair of that committee is Jack Evans, who's all running for to fill your position as chairman. And he's also on the payroll of Patton Boggs, where he makes $240,000 a year on top of his council salary of $125,000. He won't say if Marriott is a client of his firm, for example, and yet Marriott is receiving more than $250 million of district money. Is that something that's going to be looked into? It seems like there's heightened awareness around Marion Barry's possible conflicts, but not so much around maybe Mr. Evans.
It may be, and certainly, you know, when you're running for an office like chair or, you know, some of these higher offices, these issues always come up in campaign. So I suspect that you and perhaps others will raise questions about this, and I hope there will be answers.
Thank you so much, Chairman Gray. All right,